Good morning.
Welcome to worship this morning. Please be sure to look at all the announcements in the back of the bulletin. I think today is a celebration of Grandpa's Grandparents' Day. So if you would like to go to the reception, there's a reception after worship service this morning down in the fellowship hall for all the grandparents who are here. Okay, anybody else with announcements? Then we begin with a brief order for confession and forgiveness. Please rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare unto you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our opening hymn, For the Beauty of the Earth.
Thank you.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also to you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
This is the feast of victory for our God.
Reading is from Deuteronomy chapter 30, starting in verse 15. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you today, by loving the Lord your God, by walking in his ways, and by keeping his commandments and his statutes and his rules, then you shall live and multiply. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to take possession of it. But if your heart turns away, and you will not hear, but are drawn away to worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are going over the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curse. Therefore choose life, that you and your offspring may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice, and holding fast to him, for he is your life and length of days, that you may dwell in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm is Psalm 1. We'll read it responsively. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers.
But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night.
He is like a tree planted by the streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. The second reading is from Philemon. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved fellow worker, and Apphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and the church in your house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith that you have toward the Lord Jesus and for all the saints. And I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in it, for the sake of Christ. For I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. Accordingly, though I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do what is required, yet for love's sake I prefer to appeal to you. I, Paul, an old man and now a prisoner also for Jesus Christ, I appeal to you for my child, Onesimus, whose father I became in my imprisonment. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful to you and to me. I am sending him back to you, sending my very heart. I would have been glad to keep him with me in order that he might serve me on your behalf during my imprisonment for the gospel. But I preferred to do nothing without your consent in order that your goodness might not be by compulsion, but of your own accord. For this perhaps is why he was parted from you for a while, that you might have him back forever, no longer as a bondservant, but more than a bondservant, as a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So if you consider me your partner, receive him as you would receive me. If he has wronged you at all or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, write this with my own hand. I will repay it, to say nothing of your owing me even your own self. Yes, brother, I want some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. The word of the Lord.
Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 14th chapter. great crowds accompanied Jesus, and he turned and said to them, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king, going out to encounter another king in war, will not sit down first and deliberate whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? And if not, while the other is yet a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. So therefore, any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is of no use either for the soil or for the manure pile. It is thrown away. He who has ears to hear, let him hear the gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In our gospel lesson today, Jesus uses a little bit stronger language here that we normally think of Jesus. And so I'm going to kind of go through the gospel lesson this morning. We're going to just look to see what Jesus has to say here. All right, so it starts out, great crowds accompanied Jesus. Jesus had been out teaching, preaching, healing for quite a while at this point. His name was being made known, and people were flocking to him. If they heard Jesus was in a certain town, they'd go all running that way to see Jesus. In chapter 12, at one point, it even says thousands were following Jesus. So we're looking at large numbers of people here that are following Jesus. Why so many people? Well, people are following for different reasons. Some people follow because they do believe that he is the Messiah promised of God, had been promised for centuries, that God was fulfilling his promises that, yes, this was the Messiah, the Savior, who was to come into the world. Others were following because maybe they needed healing, and they had seen or had heard that Jesus does healing. Others were fascinated by what Jesus said. They were intrigued by his sermons. They wanted to hear more of his teachings, and so they were following Jesus. Some of them were just fascinated with the whole spectacle of Jesus coming in. They didn't know for sure if he was the Messiah, and so they wanted to hear more, they wanted to see more before they could make a commitment. Other people were there just for the entertainment of it. Jesus has a good show. Is he going to heal somebody? Is somebody going to attack him today? And so they were just there for the entertainment. Some of them were there to attack Jesus, to catch him, so that they could discredit him. Others were there just simply because they saw the crowds and wanted to know what was going on. So people came for all reasons to follow Jesus, to be there with Jesus. And the numbers for Jesus weren't necessarily all that important. What was important for Jesus was the commitment, was the faith, to be able to hear and see that the kingdom of God had come near. The gospel goes on and says, "And he turned and said to them, 'If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot become my disciple.'" Those are hard words. If you hate your mother and father and all the rest of your family. So what's Jesus mean here? Certainly he can't say that you actually hate your family. I mean, after all, you look at the Ten Commandments, and the commandment says, honor your father and your mother. That's about family. Or the another commandment, you shall not commit adultery. That's to hold the family together. Think of all the places here in the Bible where family is so important. Even in our first lesson today, it mentions family, or it mentions the ancestors of the people of Israel, of how important families were. And families are important to us too. I mean, we grew up in families. Our families molded and shaped us and taught us and loved us, cared for us, made sure that we were doing okay, defended us, protected us, provided for us. Families are important. That's the center of where we learn. So what's Jesus saying here? If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children. I think what Jesus is saying here is priorities. Yes, family is very important to us. Yes, family is very good. But at the same time, what comes first in our lives is our faith. It goes all the way back to the Old Testament then too. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. God comes first. God created us. God made us. Our life comes from God. Our families come from God. All that we have comes from God. What we eat comes from God. What we wear, the house that we live in, comes from God. God is first. God is number one. And that's where our priorities go. Our priorities go with God, with our faith. It's that commitment. Here, all these large crowds are following Jesus. But he knows that all those are not sincere. What Jesus wants is sincere faith. Jesus had said, all those who believe and are baptized shall be saved. Salvation is a gift. It's simply given to us. God sent his Son into the world to save us, and that's exactly what Jesus did. He went to the cross, and then he rose from the dead, giving us the promise of everlasting life with us. It's not what we did, it's not our work, it's what God did for us for salvation. All those who believe and are baptized shall be saved. In baptism is our entrance into the kingdom of God. We are reassured of the salvation. We are given the gift of the Holy Spirit. And we are called Christian. If you believe and are baptized, you shall be saved. So what's the belief part of this? And I think that's exactly what Jesus is talking about here in this gospel lesson. It's that belief part. To believe, you simply believe it. You simply believe that God has done this for us. So what's it mean to believe? If you believe in something, it's going to guide your life. If you believe your family is important to you, you are going to make sure that your family is taken care of. You're going to take care of each of the members in your family. You're going to make sure that they're doing well or help them along. If you believe that the most important thing in the world is money, you're going to do whatever you can to get that money. If you believe power is important, you're going to do anything in this world to gain that power, even if it means hurting other people. If you want the money, you're going to get the money, or you're going to try to get that money, even if it means dishonest ways of getting that money. What you believe is what is important to you. And here Jesus is saying, believe, have faith, and that should be your number one priority. Have faith in God. And it's not necessarily just, it's not hating your family, but it's willing to make that hard choice. What if my family goes against God? What if my family does not believe? What if my family is ridiculing my faith? What happens then? What choice do I make? Do I make the choice of holding on to my faith, or do I make the choice of holding on to my family? hard choices here. Hard choices. Like I said, Jesus speaks hard words in our gospel lesson this morning. But he speaks it in different ways, because the next verse here then too basically says the same thing. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. One of the highest priorities we put on ourselves is ourself. So what is more important? Is it family? Is it God? Or is it myself? And so many times it's myself. We get greedy. We don't want to be hurt. We'd rather hurt somebody else than be hurt ourselves. And so Jesus is saying, put all that stuff behind you. Put all those things behind you that come in the way of faith in God. Put yourself on a cross, even if that means making the hard choices, even if that means that you may be ridiculed, even though if that means that you will be cast out. There are people today that are even willing still to go to death in order to follow Christ. Martyrs are still being made today in this world. That's how strong their faith is. Or Jesus says it another way. He tells two parables here as well then too. For which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it again begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. I remember in when I was serving my first parish, and that was out in Harper, up in the hill country. San Antonio was the closest big city, and I would venture to say that I was in San Antonio maybe at least once a month, either to make hospital visits or I'd have meetings there, or sometimes it was just to do major shopping, or sometimes just to go spend the day, take the kids, the family, and go spend a day enjoying the sights of San Antonio. And I noticed, driving to San Antonio, somewhere between Bernie and San Antonio, through that stretch, that San Antonio was growing fast in that day and time, as it still is. But there was a building starting to go up, and it was fascinating to watch it go up. First, they cleared all the land, leveled it out, bulldozed all the brush that was out there, and then they started hauling in materials. And each time I drove by, I could see something new that was happening in the stage of building a building. And so you could see the progress that they were making. And then they laid out a foundation, poured the concrete for it, and started putting up the steel structure, the beams going up and some of the beams that went across the building for the structure of the building. And then it stopped. Drove by again. There was nothing happening. Drove by again. There was nothing happening again. And for 4 or 5 years, there was nothing happening with the building. And in the meantime then, I could see the brush growing back. The piles of materials were starting to deteriorate. I did notice they built a fence around the place because, who knows, some of those supplies were probably being pilfered. And just wondering, what's going on? What made them stop building that building? Did they run out of money? Did they run into a lawsuit? Was the structure no good? What was happening? And I wasn't the only one driving I-10 in that day and time. Thousands of people drove by and they saw that building. Somebody lost out. Somebody lost a lot of money. It was not able to be finished. I think years later, I noticed there was a building there. But a lot was lost. Jesus is telling us, count the cost. If you're going to go into this, if you want to be a disciple of Jesus, it does cost us. It costs us to make those hard decisions. Where do we put our priorities? Do we put it on ourselves? Do we put it on our families? Do we put it on our work? Do we put it on making money? Do we put it on our prestige? Do we put it on our power? Where is our priority? What is most important to us? And if we can't do it, then why would we want to be a disciple? We can't be a disciple if we're not willing to do that. Or the second parable here then too. Or what king going out to encounter another king in war will not sit down first and deliberate whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000. And if not, while the other is yet a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. I remember back in the early 1990s, if you remember the Gulf War, that Iraq had invaded Kuwait, and the United States and other countries had vowed to defend Kuwait. And so the United States and other countries decided to go to war to get Iraq out of Kuwait. And so they started to put their armies together. And there was no war because they were building up everything. There were encampments made in Saudi Arabia, airstrips. There were supplies that were brought in. Plans were made, strategic plans were made, how the allies were going to work together, what they were responsible for. Tons and tons of supplies of ammunition, of food, of tents, of soldiers, all coming in. And then when the war started, it took less time for the war to take place than it took for getting everything ready. I think that war was, what, less than 100 days, I think, or right at 100 days? It's that planning process, or counting the cost. What's it going to take? Make sure that you can get the job done. And so as we are Christians, and as we believe, we look at what it takes to get the job done of believing in Jesus Christ, of being his disciple. Are we ready to do that? Are we ready to make that commitment to be a follower? Or does other stuff get in the way? And then towards the end here, verse 34, salt is good, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is of no use either for the soil or the manure pile. It is thrown away. Salt in that day and time, much of the salt was mined, and it was not pure salt. You know, you think, how can salt lose its saltiness? That's the essence of salt. That's what salt is the saltiness. Well, for us, yes, because we have pretty well pure salt is what we buy at the store. But back then, it just wasn't quite that pure. And so there would be other stuff, inert materials within that salt. There may be little pebbles even, or sand, or other minerals. And so salt could actually lose its saltiness. The salt itself could be drained out. It could be evaporated out with the moisture in the air. And if that happens then, it's no longer salt. You still have a pile of something, but it's not salt anymore. Rather, it's just dust, it's sand, it may be little pebbles or rocks, other minerals, but it's not salt. It's lost its usefulness completely. I think about that then too, of those who are baptized, and then they come to confirmation class. And then we don't see them anymore. We don't see people anymore, especially after they get out of high school or they move on. We do not see people anymore, other than maybe for a wedding and then eventually for their funeral. Where did they go? Have they lost their saltiness? Well, they may think, I still believe, but do they do anything with it? Have they counted the cost? Are they able to make the hard choices? Where are they? Where are they? Is that salt lost? Is it lost? Has that faith benefited them throughout life? And then the last phrase here. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. I know my wife used to accuse me of having a selective hearing. And I think a lot of times that what we have too. We are going to believe what we want to believe. But if you have ears, and it's not only hearing, but actually listening, paying attention to what Jesus has been saying. Think about these things. Think about the cost of what it takes to be a Christian, to be devoted, to give your time, to give your talents, to give your possessions, to help a stranger, to care for someone
who needs help, to give love to each other, to be a part of your own families, and also to reach out to strangers, or even being able to forgive those people you do not want to forgive. It's hard choices to be a Christian. Count those costs. Throw yourself into it and simply believe. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We sing the hymn for the day, "Lord, speak to us that we may speak." Rise for our confession of faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Let us pray in the name of Jesus to our Heavenly Father for the Church, the world, and one another. Gracious Father, teach us what true discipleship is. By your Spirit, give us the faith and the steadfastness to bear its cost. Thank you for so clearly setting before us the way of blessing and curse, of life and death, that you, for the grace to choose the life you offer through the death and resurrection of your Son, Lord, in your mercy. We pray for the people and ministries of this congregation. Help us to meditate on your word day and night. Give us grace to forgive, faithfulness to serve, and joyfulness to worship. Use us to lead many people to those streams of living water in which is found true life in Christ. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for persecuted Christians, for missionaries, for seminary professors and students, and for all pastors and evangelists. Give them wise and humble hearts. Use them to bring the healing and saving gospel to those whom the world has despised and rejected. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for our nation and its leaders, and for the people and leaders of every nation on earth. Help all of us to walk not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners,
but instead to delight in your law, to meditate on your will, and to practice doing it so that we may live before you in peace and righteousness. Lord, in your mercy. Your Son dignified our labor by sharing our toil. Be with your people wherever they work. Give us pride in what we do. Be the strong refuge of those who suffer anxiety from lack of employment. Help all who are able to work to find suitable and fulfilling employment and to receive just payment for their labor. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for everyone who needs your mercy and loving kindness. Refresh their hearts, heal whatever is wounded, and restore them to fellowship with all who love them. We pray especially for Nick Picard, Cheryl Leist, Carlton Bolting, Spencer Finnegar, B. McNabb, Julie Dupree, Lynn Magura, Elaine Molina, and Lord, we also pray for rain. Lord, in your mercy. Holy and loving Father, with gratitude and affection, we entrust into your care our beloved dead. Through your Holy Spirit, strengthen us in our vocation as disciples of the Lord Jesus, so that, not counting the cost, we always bear faithful witness to him. For his sake, bring us into your presence, to be numbered with all those who serve, worship, and adore you in glory everlasting. Lord, in your mercy. In the power of the Holy Spirit, we entrust our prayers and petitions into your hands, gracious Father, for the sake of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We continue with the offering. You may be seated. Let us pray. Wise and gracious God, receive the labor of our hands, these gifts of money, bread, and wine, along with the offering.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior, Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the host of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave for all to drink, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, come, taste and see that the Lord is good. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Almighty God, We thank you for feeding us with spiritual food, the body and blood of Christ. All who come to you will not hunger. All who believe in you will not thirst. Empowered by this sacrament, send us back into the world to do the work you have given us to do, to share the gospel and be faithful disciples of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. Our closing hymn, Alleluia, Sing to Jesus. Go in peace, serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
As we go in peace, we share that peace with each other. The peace of the Lord be with you.